We've spent the last few shiurim discussing the lachukas part of Hilchas Yerusha, and now it's time, Be'ezus Hashem, for us to move to the mishpat part. What do I mean to say? Not to use any cliches, but we've been discussing what happens if somebody dies intestate. But, as we said, in order to avoid problems and family issues and providing for one's children in an equitable and fair way, Chazal devised, encouraged, and used various forms of setting up an estate, otherwise known as writing a will, writing a tzavah, to ensure that things are given over and transferred, and family issues are avoided in as smooth way as possible, as well as providing for an almona, providing for a person's widow in case of need, providing for one's children where there are outstanding needs, and or transferring assets from one child to another where the parent feels that that's the right thing to do. However, we have to give a short hakdama. There's a crucial introduction to the subject. The Gemara in Ksuvas Daf Nun Beis discusses one of the takonis of Chazal, as we started in the first part of the series, that Chazal enacted various takonis. There are various enactments of Chazal in order to safeguard and protect the financial integrity of a person's loved ones, both a wife which is left over, both children who are left to fend for themselves. One of these institutions which relate to the children is called Ksubas Binin Dichrin. It was understood by Chazal that a person would not give his daughter a generous dowry to go into a marriage unless the assets which that person would transfer to his daughter in case of death, in those days obviously due to disease and women succumbing in childbirth, the mortality rate of women was much higher than men. So very often there was a real concern where a person would want to send his daughter into a marriage with a generous dowry. He would want to take as fine of a son-in-law as he could with a generous nadin, a generous dowry. However, he was afraid that the son-in-law would, a year or two later, or whatever the case would be, would unfortunately inherit all his money. So Chazal instituted a takana called Ksubas Bin Dichrin, which means that the assets which are given in a marriage to a wife, to a daughter going into a marriage, would be safeguarded and would go into the Yerusha of the children. Meaning to say, if a person married a second wife, he had a whole family and he lost his first wife, he married his second wife, and the second wife brought a generous dowry into the marriage, those nechosim on death of the father would not be equally divided in an equitable fashion amongst the whole family. Being that those came specifically for the second wife and with the second wife, they would only go to Yarshim of that second wife. It would be part of the Yerusha, that it would be diverted to the Yerusha Chelek of the children of the second wife. And it would not be distributed equally amongst all the heirs of the husband. The Gemara says over there, as a kasha on the din of Ksubas Binin Dichrin, the Gemara says, Shininor, Shmuel said to his Talmud Reb Yehuda, Shininor, loy tehavei ba'avura achsanto, afilu mibrabisho libra tova. Do not encourage, do not facilitate, do not make possible the transfer of assets of Yerusha from one son to another son, even a good son to a bad son. A person has two children. One of them goes in the path that he set out for him. One of them gives the father nachas, so to speak, and the other child is a source of agmas nefesh. The other child does not go in the derech that the father would have wished the son to go. And the father, in anger, wishes to take away the chelik of nachla from the wayward son and transfer that half of the Yerusha and give everything away to the son that he's proud of. The Shmuel told his Talmud Rabbi Yehuda, you should not facilitate such a transfer. Afilu mibrabisha, from a wayward son, a bad son, to a brotava, to a good son, to a son who's going on the derech. Why? Because you never know who will be the children of that wayward son? Maybe he will himself have good children. He'll have children that go b'derech hatoiv. He'll have children that will give the grandfather, even though the grandfather might not be here, he'll give the grandfather nachas, so to speak. So then the halach is, Shmuel told Rabbi Yehuda not to be present in the Shulchan Aruch, the present by such a transfer of assets. The Shulchan Aruch brings a midas chasidus, not even to be an aid or a soifer by such a transfer of assets. Which would mean, in practical terms, that a lawyer who's a frum Jew should not actively encourage and facilitate the transfer of assets based on appearance, anger, or rejection, should not facilitate a transfer of assets away from one child to another. It's called Yavurei Achsanta. That's the Shulchan Aruch. And the Gemara in Ksuba says, if that's the case, how could Chazal divert funds from one child to another with the vehicle called Ksubas bin Indichrin? The Gemara answers, which will be for us a basic idea, a basic stepping stone to go into the issue of setting up a will. The Gemara says that since the Pasuk, Gemara brings a Pasuk in Yecheskel, the Bnei Sechem, Tnu Bnei Sechem La'anoshim, the Torah actively encourages parents to marry off their children in the best way possible. Parents are encouraged in the Torah to do what's right for their children, to be there for their children, to financially provide for their children, obviously based on the parents' ability to do so. So over there, Chazal understood that it was in line with what the Torah wanted to transfer those assets in order to facilitate a father giving a more generous dowry to his daughter. Now, there remains a very gray area in this Indian of Yavur Achsanta. Obviously, like we're saying, the Gemara says that in certain cases where it's the right thing to do, where the idea why a person would transfer assets from one child to another would be based on ideas, values, concepts that are in tune, that are approved by the Torah, in that case it would be okay. And obviously very often what could be construed as a parent diverting funds from his children, which is frowned on, there's a very gray area in between. Nobody's going to say that a person who's getting on in years cannot, either for his own purposes or for li'ilu nishmasai, he sets up in a will, he can't give tzedakis li'ilu nishmasai, or he can't give tzedakah while he's alive, because in that way he's diverting funds from his children's yerusha. The children might not like it. It's very obvious that a grandfather is allowed to give generous wedding presents to his grandchildren. He's allowed to help out all his married children, including his daughters. He's allowed to help out his grandchildren. He's allowed to bequeath money to whoever he wants. So where do we get beyond the gvul of a person being allowed to use his nechosim in the way that he sees fit? Obviously, we might add, even though Yavurei Achsanta, transfer of assets from one yerush to another, is frowned upon in the Gemara, if it's done, it's chal. It's only a lechatchila. The Gemara says that's not the right thing to do. However, if it's actually done and it's formalized, it's chal. It works. But the question is, what's the right thing to do? So the Poskim bandy about different ideas in order to categorize what would be considered Yavurei Achsanta and what would not be considered Yavurei Achsanta. The Tashbitz proposes a radical concept. And Tashbitz says, the Poskim bring the Tashbitz as one of the later of the Rishonim from the 14th century. And the Tashbitz says that Yavurei Achsanta is only when you give it all away. Person has two children, he takes away everything from one child, he gives it to his other son, that's the son who he favors, that's frowned upon. However, if he leaves over what's considered a decent amount, the Tashbitz says the amount is a certain amount of din rezov, remoshe, negris moshe, and a certain tshuva, discusses in terms of the currency bismanazeh. In his days, 40, 50 years ago, he says that about $1,000 was considered a respectable sum to be considered assets to leave to all the children. Obviously, Bizman Azeh, in the year 2009, it would be a lot more money than $1,000. Rav Moshe was writing this 50 years ago, 60 years ago. However, the basic idea of the Tashbitz is that as long as one leaves over a decent sum of money, a respectable, mechubedik, a sum of money, for all his yorshim, that'll go along with the lachukas, with the regular transfer of assets on death of the parent, of the father, then the halacha will be that he could then take the rest of his assets, the rest of his estate, and he could distribute it in the way that he sees fit. Obviously, a person cannot give away his money after he dies. The Gemara says, "Ein shultim biyad amavis." After a person dies, he doesn't owe his money. In the regular secular concept of writing a will, where a person writes, "I leave over my nechassim to so and so," in Torah law has no value, because at the second berega hamisa, at the second of death, the assets are automatically transferred into the reshus, into the domain of the yorshim, and it becomes too late. So therefore, there are various financial vehicles to transfer assets while one is alive, and it won't be avur echsata, says the Tashbitz, in a case where he left over a respectable amount of money for all the Yoshim. The Paiskim dispute this Tashbitz. They say if that would be the case, the Gemara on Ksubas doesn't have a kasha. Why is the Gemara asking on Ksubas ben Dichrin? There were other assets that were left over. The Acharin Mami Yashiv, the Tashbitz. They say Terutzim, how the Tashbitz explain that Gemara. But in any case, the Paiskim do not accept la halacha, the proposal of the Tashbitz. The Chesam Sofer in a classic tshuva, which is brought in the Pesachei Tshuva, says that obviously a person, let's say a person dies without children. He doesn't have children to, so to speak, perpetuate his memory. He's not leaving behind a legacy. He doesn't leave over close relatives. Would it be avur achsanta for a person to give all his money away b'chayov in his lifetime to set up a foundation, to give away all his money for charitable purposes and not leave over money to his second cousin once removed or whoever his closest relative is? The Chassam Sofer says, of course. A person is allowed to worry about himself and he's not mechuyiv to... he's allowed to worry about himself, he's allowed to perpetuate his legacy, and he's not mechuyiv to leave over the assets. But where a person is actually giving over nechassim to Yorshim, and he decides in anger for whatever reason, whatever was going on in the family, to transfer away from one Yorsh to another, there it would go under the category of avur achsanta, which is not the lechatchila, it's not the will of Chazal, of the poiskim, that a person should do that. It would seem, I believe, that the general rule of thumb in this matter is that whenever a person sets up something in a way which is clearly a diversion of the estate from one Yerush to another, that would be considered avur achsanta. A person writes a will and he says, "I don't want to give to my son XYZ because I was disappointed by his career decisions, by his choices in life. I'm giving all my assets to a different son." That's the avur achsanta. However, if a person has good reasons why he's doing what he's doing, for instance, like we discussed from the Chassam Sofer, that he wants to perpetuate his legacy, he wants to donate a few buildings, he wants to set up a charitable foundation in order to perpetuate his legacy, he wants to give to causes that are important to him. The Chassam Sofer says that a person's needs, and a person after he leaves this world and he travels on to his eternal reward, his needs are just as great, if not greater, than when he was in this world. Same way, a person is encouraged to give tzedakah while he's alive. He's encouraged to leave over from his estate for charitable purposes in order to benefit his neshama. Li'ilui nishmasei. So, there are various reasons why a person would be allowed to redistribute his nechassim and it would not be frowned on. Interestingly enough, there is one type of transfer of Yerusha, which is Torah mandated, which is clear, and that is called Hanchola de Rabbi Yochanan ben Breker. Rabbi Yochanan ben Breker is the one who is Mechadish this din in the Gemara, and is commonly called Hanchola de Rabbi Yochanan ben Breker on his name. And this means that a person has three sons. A person can designate from his two sons or three sons one of them as his full Yerush. Again, he cannot take away from the Chelek HaBechor. But if he has three sons and all of them are pshutim, all of them are not b'chayim, non-b'chayim, all of them would yashin equally, he can designate one son as his yerush. But again, it would be frowned on in the framework of yavur achsanta. The Gemara says that one shouldn't do it. And if one is a rov, one shouldn't facilitate, one shouldn't encourage such a process being carried out. However, as we said, there are reasons why a person would be allowed to avoid going through the regular process of Yerusha. One reason would be if a person knows that his sons and daughters are going to fight after he dies, maybe one of his daughters is going to drag in the secular system and not be amenable to going through the regular process of Yerusha. There the halacha would be, in order to avoid a daughter going to the court system, a person can set up equitably his children. He could write, he could give away a matana mechayim to his sons and daughters equally, or he could write up a will giving to whoever he wants in order to avoid such an unfortunate scenario. Or if there's going to be fighting amongst his yoshim, the Pesukim add an interesting wrinkle to such an idea. The greatest nachas ruach that can be had by a parent after he leaves this world is when his children carry on his ways and they're at peace with each other. If there's going to be fighting in the family after he leaves this world, that's definitely a need for the parent, not only a need for the children, and he could definitely set up his will in a way that would avoid such an unfortunate turn of events. Another case which is discussed by the Poskim, which is quite common, is one of the children was unusually devoted to the welfare of the parents. Today, people are living longer. Very often, parents that have children that live local, those children, and very often it comes up with daughters. They have one daughter that's very devoted to the welfare, takes care of the father for sometimes 10, 15, 20 years. Yom v'laila, the daughter is there for the parent. The parent wants to show a certain amount of extra hakaras hatov beyond the letter of the law to that child. The Poskim say that that's okay. That's not avura achsanta. Interestingly enough, the Poskim find a source for such an idea in the fact that Yaakov Avinu in Parshas Vayechi gave Yosef an extra chelik because Yosef provided for him in his old age. The Poskim say that's one of the reasons why Yaakov was not connected the Rotzen of Chazal for Yaakov to give an extra chelik to Yosef despite the fact that he was not a Bechor in terms of Hilchas Yerusha. So this would definitely be another reason why a person would not have diverting Yerusha would not be frowned on within the din of Yavurei Achsanta. The Gemara says clearly, the Gemara in Ksubis Daf Samach Zayin, the Gemara says, Mar Ukva gave away half his nechosim before he departed this world for tzedakah. The Gemara says that he said, the Gemara only asked that the person not allowed to give away more than a chaymish of his assets to tzedakah. The Gemara says, but he knew he was going to die, he didn't need those assets anymore. So the Gemara says that it's fine. The Gemara says that Mar Ukva said on his deathbed, he has a long journey ahead of him and he has short provisions. So all these would be reasons where a person is not, so to speak, doing away with the system of Yerusha, but he has his own needs and his own cheshbonis of what comes first, tzedakah or family peace or recognizing one child who went beyond the call of duty for him, and all these would be reasons why he would be allowed to divert a Yerusha. Again, we're not getting yet into how a person sets up a will, because if a person just says it, then the halacha is that the assets are automatically transferred to the children, and then the proper yoshim do not have to listen to what the father said under certain circumstances. This leads us to the next area of halacha, which is the halacha of matne shchivmera and mitzava machmas misa. The Gemara in Perek Mishameis, in the ninth Perek above Abbasu, discusses barichus, somebody who's sick in bed. It's called in the Talmudic terminology a shchivmera. The Gemara says anybody who's in bed and he's bedridden, so to speak, he takes somebody else and he makes a dramatic distribution of his nechasim, meaning to say he gives away everything lock, stock, and barrel. He doesn't even leave himself the shirt on his back. In such a case, it's obvious that the person, even if he's lying in bed with nothing more than a bad cold, it's obvious that the person has something on his mind. And the Gemara says that Chazal gave him the right, shelo titarav daita, in order that he should be calm, Chazal went beyond the letter of the law, which does not let a person distribute his assets without proper kinyonim. We know that a verbal declaration of intent is not enough to transfer ownership of assets. A person always needs a ma'aseh kinyan. The same is true if a person wants to distribute his assets before he leaves this world. He needs kinyonim in order to be makne. Either he needs the person, the recipient of his, the beneficiary of his matona, of his bequest, or what he has to do is he has to have somebody there as a proxy for that recipient in order to facilitate the transfer of assets. The Gemara says that Chazal dispensed with that need for ma'aseh kinyan. It's rabbinic in nature, the Gemara says. And the halacha is that he can give it over, Chazal said, because we don't want to put more on a sick person's mind than what's necessary in order that he shouldn't be weighed down with worries what will be with his assets. The case of a shchivmera, the Gemara says, is only when he gives away everything. That's rather dramatic. Most often it doesn't happen that a person gives away everything without leaving himself even his shirt on his back. And the Gemara has a different case called the Mitzavah Machmas Misa. A Mitzavah Machmas Misa is not anybody who's bedridden. It's only when there's real issue of the person's imminent death. A person's bedridden. In the times of Chazal, the Gemara said, anybody who's in bed for more than 3 days. It's questionable whether that's true b'zman hazeh. If a person's in bed with and he's on antibiotics and 99.9% of the time he's going to get better, whether that would be called a Mitzavah Machmas Misa. In actuality, there's one day in the Pesachim that any time a person makes bequests and he says, because I'm going to die or after I die, he's talking about death, it's chal, even without a kinyan. This is the opinion of the Maram Mirutenberg. This opinion is rejected out of hand by the Rishonim in the Pesachim. And they say that only where a person is severely ill, where a person, there's some type of chash, there's some type of real concern that the person is on his deathbed, then he could distribute his assets without recourse to Maisa Kinyon. Or, the Gemara says, a person is being led to death row, he's being led to the executioner. So there also he has the status of a Mitzavah Machmas Misa. And over there the halacha is that a person, because this bequest is considered binding in case of death, first of all, it's not chal ad la'achamisa, whereas normally a person, the regular concept of kinyonim, as we said, a person cannot be makne, a person cannot give away his nechosim after he dies. As soon as he dies, they automatically transfer to his heirs, to his yorshim. However, the halacha of mitzvah machmas misa is that he can give over his nechosim to whomever he wants, and it'll be chal based on this rabbinic halacha of mitzvah machmas misa. And the halacha over here is not only by all his assets, it's by any bequest that he makes will be honored. But again, because it's only chal, la'acham isosu, the Gemara says, first of all, im omad choizer, it was only given in case of death. What happens if he recuperates? Person's in bed, he had a heart attack, let's say, and he definitely feels some level of doubt as to whether he's going to survive this illness. He's in the hospital for whatever, he's severely ill. The halacha is that any verbal declaration of distribution of assets that he makes will be binding because he's actually in bed. He's a mitzvah machmas misa. There's some type of chash misa here. The same is true, the Gemara says, the same way if he recovers, the verbal declaration that he made is null and void. It was only in case of death. The halacha will be, since it's only chalach misosoi, he can be choizer b'cholyov, the Gemara says. Let's say he's lying in bed, he's sick, and he makes some type of verbal bequest, and then he changes his mind. He can change his mind. The Gemara has an interesting discussion as to whether he could be... A person makes a bequest, and it's very common. A person is sick, he feels that he might be going. He makes some type of bequest, either for a schus or because he wants to... He didn't set up a will properly, and he wants to make a bequest to tzedakah. In being that tzedakah is the only type of kinyan, if I want to give a present to my friend, I have to do with a ma'aser kinyan. But tzedakah, we have a rule, amirasa l'gvayikim sirasa l'hadyit. Any verbal declaration or verbal declaration of intent of giving money to tzedakah is chal, is binding on that person, even without a ma'aser kinyan. Can he be choizer on such a thing? This is a shaila in the Gemara. The Gemara is not Peshit the Shaila. The halacha is, the Gemara says that status quo, the Yershim will not be forced to give over that money of tzedakah if the father died. Meaning to say, a person gave over a bequest of tzedakah money, and then he changed his mind. He gave money to cause X, he changed his mind, he gave it to cause Y. Who would get the money? Would X get the money? Would Y get the money? The halacha is Hamoytzi Mechavel of Arai. Let's give an easier case. Not we change from bequest X, and he decided to give it to tzedakah Y, but he changed his mind. No, I don't want to give them the money. Or he wanted a schus, then he decided that it wasn't a schus. The halacha would be that the yorshim would hold on to the money, being that that shaila is not nifshat in the Gemara. Obviously, there's a gray area, as we said, what's called the mitzvah machmas misa. Every time a person is bedridden for a week with a flu, even though in the times of Chazal, being in bed for 3 days was cause for concern, there was a real issue of pikuach nefashos, b'zman hazeh it's hard to accept that. And also very often we have people that are sick, which was not so common in the times of Chazal, where a person is not bedridden, he's not even a shechiv mirah, he's walking around, but we know that he's deathly ill. What happens if a person, achmana litzlan, is sick with cancer, He's going for chemotherapy. Obviously, he sees the Malach HaMavis in front of him. He knows the doctor gave him a certain amount of chance, even if he has a high recovery rate, but there's definitely a high risk factor in such an illness. Or what happens if a person comes home from a checkup, he's not feeling well, and the doctor tells him that he has to go through immediate double bypass surgery. All of a sudden, the person starts feeling vulnerable. He wants to set up his estate. Did Chazal give him recourse as a mitzvah machmas misa to set up his estate verbally without doing a ma'aseh kinyan? It's not clear. However, a person who is actually sick, the Drisha says in the halachas of Yerusha that even if the place can bring a lashon of a marik, that even if he's hoylech b'shuk ke'echod mibnei adam, he goes in there, he's walking down the street. However, machlo mikanenes b'kirboy, he's deathly ill. The halacha is that he will be under the category of mitzvah machmas misa. What happens if somebody is being wheeled into an operating room? All of a sudden, when they come over to him, and he has to sign the permission, the slip, that says that he knows that there's a certain risk factor, he's going in for routine bypass surgery, and the doctor makes him sign a paper, and all of a sudden he's feeling vulnerable, and he wants to make a transfer of assets. Will we consider him mitzvah machmas misa? L'chaira, yes. Since he's on the way into a definite a situation that has a certain amount of risk factor, or a certain amount of risk factor to his life, that is, the halacha will be risk of paralysis will not be considered mitzvah machmas misa, but risk of death is considered mitzvah machmas misa. The halacha is that he will have recourse to distribute his assets. Again, like we said, the classic example is a person who's sick who makes bequests of tzedakah. Very often the yarshim will challenge such a bequest. More interestingly so, very often the Yerushim will say, we'll honor our father's wanting to give money to tzedakah, even if we say that amirasi legavoya kimsiras lehadit effects, a transfer of asset that now the person owes money to tzedakah. It's not just a neder. If it's a neder of the father, it could be the Yerushim don't have to honor the neder of the father. It might be the right thing to do, but they would not be able to be forced. A neder of a father is not binding on his children. The same way if he'd make a neder not to eat cookies, the children wouldn't be mechuyev not to eat cookies. If he makes a neder, he makes a vow to give $100,000 to a certain tzedakah or to donate a building for a certain yeshiva, the halacha would be that you cannot force the children. However, if we say that I'm Yosel Gvoya, and this is an issue, a wide-ranging issue of dispute, the ktois in Simen Reish Nun Gimel, the Ktzayis in Simen Reish Yud, the Nesivis in Reish Nun Gimel disputes the ruling of the Ktzayis on this issue. Depending on the parameters that are set down by various poskim, and the opinions range very far afield, it could be that as soon as a person offers a certain amount, makes a vow to give a certain amount of money, an oath to give a certain amount of money to tzedakah, the halacha is that he becomes a bal choiv to tzedakah. The tzedakah already owns, has a shibud on his nechosim. There the halacha will be, the children will be considered balei chayvus, they'll have to pay that up. However, some of the poskim say that the children could theoretically divert the funds, even if they want to honor the neder of the father, they could divert the tzedakah, the beneficiary of the tzedakah money of the father, and give it to something of their own will, being that now they're the owner of the money, and it was only a neder of the father, can only be mechayev to give to tzedakah, which tzedakah might not be binding on the children. And therefore, they might be able to divert funds. However, it could be the right thing to do is to honor the request. There's an element of kibud avim, to honor a father's last request. And therefore, even if Bezdin cannot force it, the right thing to do is for the children to actually honor the rotzen of the father and where he would want to give the money to. So again, we're discussing a few things here. We discuss the practice of a avura achsanta, diverting Yerusha based on the father's likes or dislikes, which is frowned upon. We said that obviously this is subject to any transfer of assets which would benefit the father, either b'chayav or la'acha moisoy, and then the practice would not be frowned upon. It was only if it's done in a fit of anger and to be transferred from one child to another that it's frowned upon. We discussed the Torah mandated transfer from one Yerush to another, Hancholah de Rabbi Yochanan ben Broika. We discussed Matnash Chivmera, and more importantly, Mitzvah Machmas Misa, where a person who's deathly ill, or a person who's in a life and death situation, even if he's not deathly ill, but there's some type of risk to his life, would be considered a mitzvah machmas misa. And over there, any verbal declaration of transfer, of bequest, of giving something over to a beneficiary would be honored. Al pi halacha, the kinyan is chal as soon as he dies, and the children would be forced to honor that declaration. We said that if the father is choizer, obviously the maton is only chal la'ach misa. So it's considered any request which is only, the Gemara calls it matona la'ach lamed. If a person gives something away and he says the matona will go into effect after 30 days, he could change his mind. So too, if the father makes a verbal declaration of transfer of assets, they will only go into effect after the father dies. Therefore, the father can change his mind either b'cholyov, while he's sick, or he could change his mind totally. And if he recuperates, obviously, the whole mitzvah machmas misa was only in order to honor his will as a sick man. If he recuperates, obviously, his bequest is null and void. And we discussed the gedarim of tzedakah, the various problems of distributing tzedakah money based on bequests of a dying or a sick person. Will the children be mechuyev if the father was choizer? Whether the bezdin will take that money away? It would seem that not. If the father only made a neder to give money to tzedakah, whether the ktzois holds that money cannot be taken away from the children? The ktzois says that he ruled in a case where the children did not want to honor a request that of the father, a tzedakah request of the father, the children were not mechuyev. The nesiva says if the father designates a certain asset and says he wants that house or that bank account to be given to whoever it may be, or to whichever cause, whichever tzedakah he would want to give it to, he wants to give that that stock he would like to transfer to a certain charitable foundation, or he would like to set up a charitable foundation, or he'd like to give it to a certain person that he feels is needy. There the halacha would be, the nesiva says, because specific assets were designated, it was already chal, the shas misa of the father, that those assets were already transferred to the beneficiary of the father's bequest. And there the halacha would be that the children would not be able to challenge the father's request. Now, obviously, we're discussing only over here where a person knows that he's sick, a person's ill, a person was diagnosed with a machla, or a person is he's in bed. Obviously, the wise thing is for a person not to leave things to chance, to when he's al mitas cholyoy, like Yaakov Avinu, in order to distribute his assets in the way that he sees fit. Obviously, the right thing to do is for a person to write a tzavo, and it'll be problematic because, as we said, we paskin that a person, even if he's mitzava machmas misa, but if he's healthy, he cannot transfer assets with a verbal declaration. Therefore, the next segment of our series will be dedicated to the discussion of how to write up a halachic will in a way which will be enforced by a bezdin and will be consonant with the halachic principles of Hilchus Kinyonim.
This presentation has been brought to you by the Orthodox Union in conjunction with the Beis Havad Institute of Talmudic Law, the Center for the Study and Practice of Monetary Halacha.